Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, 24. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, 19. Psalm 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, 12. So teach us to number our days that we may present to thee a heart of wisdom. Psalm 90, 12. John 3:36. The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. The one believing in the Son has life eternal, but the one not believing the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 20. Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 20. I would like to remind you at the outset that you have an insert in your bulletin today, and I trust that you will take that insert and have it in hand as we will refer to it along the way. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful again for the opportunity to focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. We're privileged individuals because not only do we have this magnificent book, the completed canon of Scripture, but we have the wonderful power of the Spirit of God. We have the opportunity to grow in grace and knowledge. We have blessings every single day, and we thank you so very much for the way that you take care of us, you watch over us. And we know that all things do work together for good to those who love you, those who are called according to your purpose. We pray that we will understand that more clearly as we live each day. Help us to know that you have a reason and a purpose and a plan for our existence. We're here today because it's your plan and will for us to continue to be here. And so we're thankful for that. We're thankful for life. We're thankful for eternal life. We're thankful for all the grace blessings that you provide every single day. We pray that you will bless us in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. On the screen, you see now Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. You also see it in your insert, in your bulletin today. A magnificent passage of Scripture indeed. We're going to look at it for just a few moments. I do not want to spend all the time exegeting, even though I would enjoy doing that. This is a powerful verse of Scripture indeed. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. The Apostle Paul is used of God to write to the Ephesian believers, the church at Ephesus. And he says, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. All of you know me well enough to know that I enjoy so very much emphasizing the various verbs that we find in the original language. I want to show you, first of all, that we have in this very first word, the Greek word that I've used over and over again for house, spiritual house of the soul. It is, and you can see it in the middle of this verse, a verb, O-I-K-O, which is the word oikos, house. And what is interesting to me is when I look at a Greek verb, I look to see the various aspects of that verb. I look at the suffix, the ending. I look at various letters that are in that particular word that lets me know whether it's an active or passive or middle voice. I look at the prefixes and look at the first parts of the word, and that's the reason why you can see that this word is so unique. It is a word that has in it the letters that lets me see that it is in the passive voice. That's interesting. It lets me see that this is a participle. It lets me see that the root word of the whole situation is an emphasis upon an edifice, the house, the construction, the soul house. I see all of that here. Having been built, and let's look at it then. Here's the word. You can see it in length, the total word. Then you see the fact that this is an aorist passive participle, nominative masculine plural, and then you have the word, the root form. And you can see that it is E-P, and then the part of oikos, O-I-K-O, and D-O-M-E-O. Domeo is the part of the word that emphasizes the construction, the building part of it. Oikos is the part of the word that shows us that it's a house, edifice, a construction. So you can see that all the various parts of this word, and then to see that it is the passive voice, it's also interesting. To see that it is a verbal adjective or verbal noun, participle, that's always interesting. Now, you didn't want to know all about that, did you? But isn't it interesting to see, having been built upon the foundation, here's the word for foundation, then we have the word apostles, we have the word prophets, but then notice, please, that you have the terminology in the scripture, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. You see all these various ways that the Lord Jesus Christ is presented. When you find Lord, Kyrios, Jesus, Jesus, Christos, Christo, Christos, it's always amazing to me to see how the word structure is. And you'll normally see Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus, Jesus Christ. But look at this. It is Christu, Jesu. Now, did you notice that? So it's different here. It has Christ, Jesus, and then autos. Auto is the way it's used here. Autos is a personal pronoun that's translated himself. And so it says Christ, Jesus, himself. Now, notice if you remember that Jesus is the word which means Jesus, the humanity of Jesus. The Kyrios is the word which emphasizes lordship, rulership. Christos is a word which means the anointed one or the appointed one. I'm just trying to take you through all these various words. So you'll see here that it says, having been constructed, built upon a foundation of the apostles and prophets, then it's Christ Jesus. So it emphasizes the anointed one, the appointed one, emphasizes the humanity of Jesus Christ, the fact that he is the God-man, God in the flesh, God incarnate, hypostatic union, going through all this real quick for you to see himself. Then it says, being the chief cornerstone. Being the chief cornerstone. Being is a verb, of course. We see it right here. It's a present active participle, genitive, masculine, plural, or neuter of ione. It's a verb that we use many, many times. It's a wonderful verb of being. When I think in terms of this verse of Scripture, I have to tell you that I cannot help but see in this verse an emphasis upon the construction of the spiritual house of the soul. So I want to take just a few moments to let you see this. The edifice or construction, or what I call the soul house, is this word right here, oikodome, oikodome, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E. Dome is, as I said a few moments ago, an emphasis upon the construction, the edifice, and then the first part of the word is O-I-K, which is oikos, O-I-K-O-S, house. So we have in Ephesians 4:12, 16, 29, the word is translated edifice, or construction, or soul house, and it is the word academy. This is the noun, which is a structure or a building. I trust that you're interested in this because it's very powerful to be able to see. When you go to 1 Timothy 1:4, you have the Greek word oikodomeia, which is again made up of O-I-K, which is the house, and then it is N-O-M-I-A, oikodomeia, and it's a noun, and it emphasizes the result of this construction. Very powerful indeed to see that. When you go to Acts chapter 4, verse 11, you have oikodomos, O-I-K-O-D-O-M-O-S. There it is in a transliteration, and here it is in the original language. It's a noun, and when you find this particular word, it emphasizes the ultimate builder of the construction, and the ultimate builder of the construction is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to be able to see how powerful in the original language these words are. I don't want to spend a lot of time, but I do want you to get a concept of the spiritual house of the soul. God desires that each one of us as a believer understand that being the recipient of imputed righteousness, Christ in us, He says, I and you, you and me, so we've been the recipient of imputed righteousness, which came to us at the point of regeneration, when God moved us from body and soul to body, soul, and spirit. So now we're trichotomous. We all understand that. We've heard it thousands of times, which means that God has established inside of us as a believer what we're calling a spiritual house of the soul. So we are seeing these beautiful words that are used to describe that particular thing that takes place in your life and mine. Edifice, construction, I call it a soul house. Here we have a noun. Here we have a noun. Here we have a noun. So we have akademe, akademia, akademos. Now, let's go from a noun to a verb. And so, take a look at this. Akademeo. And when you get to a verb, you'll discover that it has a different ending, different suffix. And so it's O-I-K-O-D-O-M-E-O. Now, you don't need to know all of this, but it's just wonderful to be able for me to talk about it and let you see how great this is. So in 1 Thessalonians 5:11, this Greek word is used, and it means to build. It means to edify. It means to construct. Okay, what I want you to be able to see is that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20, the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking through the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian believers at Ephesus, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus Himself, no other one, Christ Jesus Himself, being the chief cornerstone. You've got a bulletin. Take a look at it. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. We find this emphasized in Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. We see this emphasized in Zechariah chapter 10, verse 4. We see this in our verse of Scripture, which we have on the screen, Ephesians 2:20. Look at Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. Please keep that in mind. Notice now, this is a psalm, Psalm 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 42, Jesus said to His disciples, have you not even read in the Scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected? This became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. See how powerful that is in Matthew 21, 42? In Mark chapter 12, verse 10, in Luke chapter 20, verse 17, I know I'm going rapidly, but I want you to see in Acts 4:11, He's the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. Oh, it's powerful for you to have in your mind. Acts 4:11, Jesus Christ, He is the stone which was rejected by you, folk of Israel. You turn your back. Most of us are aware of the fact when we make our way through the timeline and we see the age of the Gentiles and we see the age of Israel, we're aware of the fact that God put Israel out there for the purpose of communicating the message of salvation. And here the people had opportunity, and we all understand when we make our way through the Old Testament and go into the 12th chapter of Genesis and begin with Abraham. There we find Israel. We follow all those pages all the way through the entire Old Testament into the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. when we get to Acts chapter 9. What do we find? We find God working in the life of a man who's cruel and mean, and to believers, his name is Saul of Tarsus. And we find in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts the conversion of this man, Saul of Tarsus. And God said, I want you, Apostle Paul, to be the minister to the Gentiles. You see that? Wow. Now, I could go more into that, but let's not stay there. Having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone. Now, on your bulletin, you will see the insert says, read 1 Peter 2, 1 through 10. I want to ask you just that as assignment. You can do that on your own. Now go to Isaiah 28, 16. It's on your bulletin insert. Therefore, says the Lord God, behold, I'm laying in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a costly cornerstone for the foundation firmly placed. He who believes in it will not be disturbed. You talk about a powerful passage of Scripture. I want you to see all of these verses, but hold this in your hand because I want to come to this at the close of the message. So hold it. Turn to the other side and look at your picture. I'm going to put it on the screen for you to be able to see. Isn't this neat? Here's Deity 2. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, the cornerstone and foundation. On this side, you will see, you're looking at it on your page, Israel. On this side, you see the age in which you and I now live, the church age. And you see the cornerstone. Notice, if you will, please, the very statement that we've read from this verse of Scripture, Christ Jesus, the cornerstone. Jesus Christ, the firm foundation. Now, please follow me carefully. Jesus Christ is presented in the Bible as the chief cornerstone. In the ancient building practices, the cornerstone was the principal stone placed at the corner of the edifice. The cornerstone was usually one of the largest, the most solid, and the most carefully constructed of any in the edifice. Please notice what I'm saying here. I want you to see it carefully. In ancient building practices, the cornerstone was the principal stone placed at the corner of the edifice. The cornerstone was usually one of the largest, the most solid, the most carefully constructed of any in the edifice. Notice now, Jesus Christ describes himself as the chief, the cornerstone, that is, his church would be built upon, a unified body of believers, both Jew and Gentile. If you're following me now, you're able to see that with Pentecost, in the beginning of the church age, individuals, no matter who they are, Jew or Gentile, when they accept Jesus Christ as Savior, they're born into God's kingdom. God is using the Apostle Paul to present the message of salvation to the Gentiles. But I want you to see that there are three different types of what we would classify as Jews. There could be classified as racial Jews. There are those classified as religious Jews. And this is a misnomer, but I can explain it anyway. Those who are regenerate Jews. I'm using the terminology to let you see what I'm trying to get over. Racial means that they came from the bloodline. Racial. Religious is, may or may not be from the bloodline, but choose to go by the precepts and concepts in relationship to the Jews. And then the ones who are regenerate, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. So in this church age, the emphasis is not upon Jew or Gentile primarily. It's emphasizing the fact of a relationship to Jesus Christ. Isaiah 28:16-17. Isaiah uses construction terminology. He uses, as we emphasized in the first session today, the measuring line or the plumb line to make his point. These are things that people would understand. The Apostle Paul preached to the Ephesians relative to the cornerstone. And we find that all in the verses which we have before us, but specifically Ephesians 2:20. But you can see I have on the screen Ephesians 2:19 to 21. Peter also gives information in 1 Peter 2:6 through 10 about the stone of stumbling. Now, I want to be sure that I'm laying aside this information so that I won't come back and repeat all the things that I've done in the past. I want you to see that I am looking now at the Lord Jesus Christ as presented as the chief cornerstone. In Job 38:6, the divine voice from the whirlwinds asked regarding the world, who laid its cornerstone? Now stay with me and let's look at this. In Job chapter 38, verse 6, the divine voice from the whirlwinds asked regarding the world, who laid its cornerstone? Job 38:3. When you go to Psalm 33:9a, we read, for God spoke and it was done. Put those things together. The divine voice from the whirlwinds asked regarding the world, who laid its cornerstone? Job 8:38, verse 3. The answer comes to us in Psalm 33:9a. For God spoke, and it was done. Ephesians 2:20. Paul refers to God's household and says, having been built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles. Stay with me and look at that. Paul refers to God's household and said, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself, the cornerstone. Dr. Joel Gregory said, in biblical times, such a stone was structurally significant. It bound the building together. We all know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who's the author and the provider of the redemption message. Please understand that the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 through the end of the last verse of the last chapter of Revelation, there's one emphasis, and that is Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Jesus Christ is the one who saves, the only one who saves. We all know that it is the Lord Jesus Christ who's the author and provider of redemption, the redemption message. It is very interesting, then, how Dr. Gregory presents Jesus as the principal stone, the prophesied stone, the precious stone, the praiseworthy stone, and the prudential stone. Now, I want you to take his message and preach it because it's so good. I want you to see that Dr. Gregory presents Jesus as the principal stone, the prophesied stone, the precious stone, the praiseworthy stone, and the prudential stone. Let us consider the fact of our Lord being the rejected precious stone. Let us consider the fact of our Lord being the rejected precious stone. When you read 1 Peter 2, those verses 4 through 10, the word precious comes up. It's a powerful word. It's a word with great meaning. It's a costly word. It's a priceless word, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. I want you to see how when people use terminology, so often we make light of certain words. When you take a look at a precious little baby, you will say oftentimes, isn't she precious? Or isn't he outstanding? Young gentleman, you know. But you're also using the word precious. Look at this word precious. Did you notice what I said? It's a powerful word. It has meaning of great value. It can be classified as a costly word, priceless word, not to be wasted or treated carelessly. I've been a fan of Henrietta Mears for many, many years. And she says, now to you who believe, this stone is precious. And she's quoting 1 Peter 2:7. In fact, Peter speaks of seven precious things. Let's look at it very quickly. Precious trial of faith, 1 Peter 1:7. Precious blood, 1 Peter 1:9. Precious cornerstone, 1 Peter 2:4 through 6. Precious Christ, 1 Peter 2:7. Precious spirit, 1 Peter 3:4. Precious faith, 2 Peter 1:1. Precious promises, 2 Peter 1:4 and 8. Some of you are saying to me, "Preacher, would you do me a favor? Just stop for a minute." Righteous indignation. Stop for a minute and let me take these down. You're going to have to write fast. Precious trial of faith, 1 Peter 1:7. Precious blood, 1 Peter 1:9. Precious cornerstone, 1 Peter 2:4 through 6. Precious Christ, 1 Peter 2:7. Precious spirit, 1 Peter 3:4. Precious faith, 2 Peter 1:1. Precious promises, 2 Peter 1:4 and 8. In the ancient times, the cornerstone was the anchor of a building's foundation. The scripture in 1 Peter 2:6 through 8 reveal that Christ is the chief cornerstone in this living building. And those who believe in Him will never be disappointed. Verse 6 says, we're to take our own angle, our plumb line, our plumb bob, and position from the cornerstone. Let me read that again because I don't want you to miss it. Verse 6, looking back at 1 Peter 2, verse 6, we're to take our own angle and position in life from the cornerstone. I was so pleased someone, Daryl, brought me another plumb bob, so I have it. I'm a collector now of plumb bobs. But anyway, we are to take our own angle and our position in this life from the cornerstone and line ourselves up on Him. Or we can refuse to line by reference to Him and stumble over Him instead. And this is a vivid picture indeed. I must hasten because there's so much to say. I have page after page of information. Cornerstone facts. Number one, Jesus Christ is the foundation and chief cornerstone for Israel. Number one, Jesus Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone for Israel. Number two, this stone causes unbelieving Jews to stumble. And may I say, this same stone, Jesus Christ, causes people in our day to stumble. They're trying to get to heaven some other way, other than the way the Bible says we're to get there. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." If you're trying to get to heaven any other way other than the Bible way, God's way, you're going to miss it. Jesus Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone for Israel. This stone causes unbelieving Jews to stumble. This stone causes people in our day to stumble. Failure of Israel to accept Jesus Christ is found presented to us in Romans chapter 9. If I were you, I would put into my thinking, read, study Romans chapter 9. Number four, Israel and the church make up the spiritual buildings of history. Israel and the church make up the spiritual buildings of history. We started off today with an emphasis upon those various words that emphasizes the house, the soul house, oikos, oikotome, oikotomeo. Or we looked at those words. No one will ever be disappointed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number five, could I do you a favor? Some of you are saying, start over. One, Jesus Christ is the foundation and the chief cornerstone for Israel. Number two, this stone causes unbelieving Jews to stumble. Number three, failure of Israel to accept Jesus Christ is found in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans. Number four, Israel and the church make up the spiritual buildings of history. Number five, no one will ever be disappointed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Number six, God's plan in every dispensation begins with faith alone. It's very powerful for you to place it into your mind. Number six, God's plan in every dispensation begins with faith alone. I'm looking at the age of the Gentiles. I'm looking at the age of Israel. I'm looking at the church age. I'm looking all over here at the millennium. I'm seeing all these dispensations. No one will ever be disappointed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And God's plan in every dispensation, number six, begins with faith alone. Number seven, that salvation will never be lost or canceled or reversed. In other words, God doesn't sponsor any flops. You're not a flop. When God brought about redemption in you, He did it. If it were dependent upon you to do it, you'd never been able to do it. So since He did it, He does a good job. And I could give you many verses of Scripture from the original language that let you see that. That salvation will never be lost, canceled, or reversed. Number eight, the true foundation of these two invisible buildings, Jesus Christ. Number nine, the church's construction is right now in progress. In other words, every person who accepts Jesus Christ during this particular time in which we live is another part of the body of Christ. I do not know who the last person is who's going to be saved before the rapture. But let me tell you something. Witnessing is wonderful. Because you may be witnessing and you may win someone to Jesus Christ who is the last person. And you may be sitting there with that person and they've just won that person to the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture takes place. It just pays to witness. It pays to tell people about Jesus. And then you're sitting there talking to those individuals and they say, I want to accept Jesus Christ as Savior. You just look around and see. You may be leaving pretty soon with that person, the last person who's going to be saved. Does that make sense? Oh, my. The church is now in the process and progression of coming together. When the rapture occurs, I'm losing my pointer. When the rapture occurs, the church becomes the spiritual temple. Israel has Jesus Christ as her foundation also, but because Israel rejected the spiritual building, was halted. When the church is removed, Israel's construction will resume. I'm moving rapidly because I want to let you see all of this. Number 14, it will resume with the believers of the tribulation and then the millennium. Number 15, at the end of the millennium, Israel will become a holy temple for all eternity. Oh, can you get this into your thinking? At the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. At Pentecost, Jesus Christ became the foundation of the church. Let's look at that again. Number 16, at the first advent, Jesus Christ came as the foundation of Israel. I can just imagine your mind. If your mind is working properly now, it's just rolling. It's just rolling because you're putting things together. You're hearing it and you're seeing it. At the first advent, when I say that, your mind rolls over in that timeline and you're seeing the hypostatic union. You're seeing Jesus Christ. Look at it. At the first advent, Jesus Christ became the foundation of Israel. At Pentecost, Jesus Christ became the foundation for the church. Number 18, after Pentecost, Jews were given 40 years of grace to get into this superstructure. But they did not. Number 19. Then the Jews came under the cycle of discipline. When Titus and the legions of Rome destroyed Jerusalem and scattered them. And all of us are aware of the fact that it's 70 A.D. Number 20. Believing Jews today become a part of the church. Not Israel, they become a part of the royal family. I told you to hold this in hand. Look at the bottom of this page. The stone, the rock, symbolizes the strength of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the Bible. He's referred to as the stone of stumbling, which the builders rejected. This relates to when the group of Jews returning from the Babylonian Persian captivity, they were negligent in rebuilding the temple, wanting to get their own homes finished first. That's just the control of the old sin nature. But when they did begin, they realized that the cornerstone was most important. So they did it, and they brought it to the building site, placed it nearby in a site field, where soon the weeds and grass covered it. Later, the people working on the temple would blindly walk through and stumble over it in the grown-up grass. That's the reason the cornerstone in 1 Peter is referred to as the stone of stumbling, the stumbling block. Jesus was that very stumbling stone. May we bow for prayer, please. Father, we are so grateful today for the Lord Jesus Christ and for salvation that comes only through Him, because He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. We are thankful that Jesus said that. For those who hear this message today, not only in this auditorium, but other places around the world, who've never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, help them to see that this could happen to them right now. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. The Bible says, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. Father, we're thankful for salvation that comes to us through Jesus Christ. As a little farm boy at the age of about 11, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I'm so thankful that You saved me and You've blessed me through these many, many years. And I pray that there will be many others, even at this moment, who will accept You as their personal Lord and Savior. And we thank You for all Your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you're dismissed.